He comes the wounded soul to cure, to enrich the humble poor. And so we're going to sing number 37 in the carol book, Hark the Glad Sound, The Saviour Promised Long. Let's stand and sing the four verses through together.
Hark the glad sound, the
waiting in is a familiar theme in Scripture. If you think about some of the stories that we read of in Scripture, we can think of way back in the Old Testament, the long-awaited child of Abraham and Sarah, the 40 years wilderness experience before they moved the children of Israel into the promised land. Joseph languishing in prison for a crime he didn't commit. The 70 years of exile for the nation of Judah as they were taken off into exile in Babylon. And today our focus is going to be on Simeon and Anna, and we'll be reflecting on a painting depicting Simeon seeing the long-awaited Messiah as recorded in Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. One of my favorite carols, which I love the band to play and I love singing, is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It speaks of the long history of Scripture, right the way through the Old Testament, of the promise of God's long-awaited Messiah. Words written back in the 13th century, so it's a really ancient, probably one of the oldest Advent carols that we sing and we use today. And so we're going to sing this, these five verses, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And as we do so, we reflect back in Scripture on this long-awaited and put ourselves in the place of those who waited for this long-awaited Messiah, that we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. So we'll sing the five verses through together.
O come, Emmanuel.
Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, we read there that the Lord, when we wait on him, will meet our needs. He will speak to us. And I believe that for us this morning. If we're holding pains of the past year, perhaps, or indeed not looking forward to something that this new year holds for us, Scripture reminds us if we wait on the Lord in prayer, he will speak to us. And indeed, a few weeks ago, I invited you to take a house of prayer card for this Advent time and to place names of family and friends who will be joining you over this Christmas time. Over the last few weeks, we've used the carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. We've sang it twice over this time. We've used different tunes, and I want us to use it again for our prayer time. But we're going to marry the words this time to the tune of John Larson's Burning, Burning. And as we sing this song, I want us to think about ourselves and those whom we love as we sing this prayer for ourselves and for those that we love. And then I would like to leave the meeting open for prayer this morning after we've sung this prayer together. Come, thou long expected Jesus. We sing verses 1 and 2 together and verses 3 and 4 together. It's just two verses. Let someone be willing to lead us in prayer just now.
Lord, we thank you that you have placed us in families,
yeah,
in groups of those who we care for and who care for us. We thank you for the family of this Salvation Army Corps, rich in fellowship, with so many people seeking to discover your will for ourselves, for themselves. We thank you, dear Lord, for our own personal families, those who are dear to us, those whom we remember constantly in prayer. We thank you because we believe your Holy Spirit is using our weak prayers as a means of grace and blessing for them. And we pray just now that as we think of them here and now, that you will be speaking to them.
Yes, Lord.
Many know you as friend and saviour and are seeking to serve you faithfully. Others are still on the journey to discover your grace for themselves.
Yes, Lord.
And we pray, dear Lord, that you will continue your gracious work of grace in their hearts, so that they may come to know you more,
yes,
and love you better. We thank you, dear Lord, because we believe that you have placed us where we are, so that we can be a means of grace to others. And so we pray that as we offer our prayers, you will make us the means by which others may know you a little better.
Yes, Lord.
And we make our prayers in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Derek, for your prayer. I like to, as we come to the end of a year, I like to reflect back personally. I also like to reflect back corporately, collectively, where we've come from, where we've journeyed together, where we've been, what we've done. As we also, at the end of this year, look forward to a new year and what that will bring before us. 2019 was the year as a core that we've been trying to establish some strategic and identify some core values that have helped us to implement some goals to move us to be an ever more fruitful core. And those core values of accepting and caring and worshipping to make more disciples of Jesus and to be more fruitful, as I said. 2019 was also where we started meeting once a month on a Sunday night in house groups, and around 65 participated in the Bible course. We hope to expand that in 2020. We also did some exploring of faith with four young people who are considering membership of our core. As far as mission is concerned, the band continue to be the means of proclaiming the gospel through music as we chat to people every Sunday when we go out. But we also embarked on an Alpha course in January of 2019, and also did Sunday evenings every fortnight in September, an Alpha Light, as we called it, to give the core folk the opportunity. In terms of ministry, we've had a lot of visiting and homegrown ministry. We had Jeff and Liz led meetings, Noel Wright and the ISB, Elwin and Carol, divisional officers, Isaac and Anne, Bev and Brian, Janet Robson. We've had the Gary Bonner Singers, Chatham Songsters, Mark and Sharon, and Alistair and Marie, Dean Pallant, the Cadets, John and Heather, and last but not least, Major Catherine Wiles, who led our Home and Family Sunday. We fellowshiped together over meals at the beginning of December, and we've also done a walk. Those of us who went down the Regent's Canal had a lovely time there. In 2019, we farewelled to ministry abroad, Jeff and Liz, David and Diane, and latterly Jeff and Kaylee, and Ray and Angela. We've also said our earthly farewells to Ken Hodgson, Margaret Duplessis, Alan Coles, and also Ruth. We welcomed in Robin and Wayne, Keith and Yvonne, Paul and Julie, Ben and Claire, Andrew and Hillary, Mary, Tricia, Lydia, Jacqueline, and last but not least, Carl and Lauren. We've also welcomed new lives of Lucy and Hallie. We enrolled Ella as a junior soldier, and we shared the blessing of Carl and Lauren in their marriage. New leaders over this last year: Andy Yates as the mission secretary, and Imogen and Alan have taken the YP band, Sam as our new youth leader, and we've also got Effie and Ellie as new care group leaders. We've supported children who've gone to Easter camp and summer camps as they've, with fun, learned more about Jesus. We've also supported the Malachi Project in Ilford. We've also supported Macmillan Cancer through the coffee morning, and latterly in the community carol services, Parkinson's UK. We've initiated a new communications group to improve both internal and external communications. We've also instigated a recycling as we've learned to live a little lighter as a core fellowship. But in it all, and through it all, we seek more than anything else to share Jesus and make him known, as our mission statement says, so that others can be given hope as they experience eternal life. And it's been a great year from that point of view of partnering Jesus as his disciples. That's us as a core last year. Would anyone like to share a personal story of how God has used you in this last year? Or maybe he's taught you a lesson that you would like to share? Sorry to put you all on the spot. We have a microphone if anyone would like to share. A lesson or something that you've, a personal story of how God has used you?
I'd like to share, if I
Thanks,
could.
Liz.
Yes, well, life and ministry changed a lot for Jeff and myself this last year in going to Bangladesh. So I would say Shuvo Shakal, good morning to you all. But I think did I become aware of that than on Christmas morning when we were sharing with the comrades and salvationists at Shavakor in Bangladesh. And worship there is partly recognizable for us and partly not. We've had to get used to new things. So even Jeff was dancing on Christmas morning. That was a sight to behold. I have a short video if anybody is interested. So we were there and we shared with the dancing, with the praising. We sang Jesu Joy, so at least we could understand that. But it really made me aware of the fact that Christmas morning was very different for us this year. But actually, maybe life and ministry is not so different because the people there still want to serve and praise the Lord at Christmas time. There are people who need to hear about Jesus in Bangladesh. And there are salvationists and friends who are eager and hungry to develop their relationship with the Lord. So maybe life and ministry hasn't changed all that much. It's just in a very different place. But I thank the Lord for the opportunities that he's giving us to learn new things for ourselves as well. And I would also just like to take an opportunity to thank you for your prayers and interest, for cards that we've received, and the love that you send across the miles to us. That's very, very much appreciated. So, Shuvon Bondai, I think it is Happy Christmas to you all, and thank you for your fellowship across the miles. God bless you.
Thank you, Liz. Yes, we haven't forgotten you. We will continue to pray for you both as you serve there with Richard and Heidi and others in that part of the world. Anyone else like to share a story? Thank you, Helen. George, you've got a microphone.
My few weeks before Christmas, I decided to do a kitchen inspection. And I found that two of my saucepans were getting a little bit worn. I'm not a cook anyway. So I went shopping in the Glades. And there was a shop there that was, say, 70% discount. And I thought, oh, that's good. And I bought two saucepans. They're really were good, a good buy. So I thought. So I took them to the counter, and the man said to me, "He said you made a wise choice, sir." I said, "Well, thank you very much." He said, "And what's more, each frying pan comes with a 25-year guarantee." Now, that salesman's going to go a long way. If we confess our sins and say that we have no sin, he is just to forgive us our sins. And this is the verse I love, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a lovely verse? A lovely phrase, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the only guarantee, or one of the guarantees, that I cannot accept.
Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who don't know, George, 93 years young. Anyone else? More?
Trust. Hilary and I have been trying to sell our house in Bristol, which is where we moved from, for about 3 years. And over that period of time, we've had various offers on our dwelling, and we've found several absolutely wonderful properties that we would have been really delighted to have purchased. But for one reason or another, things didn't happen. And then suddenly in August, at the beginning of August, we got an offer on our property. Well, that's great. And it was near enough a price that we were prepared to accept. But they wanted us to move out by the end of August. Goodness me. Now, my career was in housing, lending money. And things don't happen that quickly in the English housing market. We have a crazy system, in my opinion. And so I said to them, look, I don't think we can quite go along with your idea of getting out by the end of August, but we'll have a look and see if we can do something in the early part of September. Well, I think that was a kind of faithful statement, because at that time we hadn't actually found anywhere to move to. Anyway, we came and we looked. And we found something, and we made an offer, and they turned it down. Then we found another property. We made an offer, and they accepted it. The strange thing about it is that the property we've got is by far superior to any of the other ones we've ever looked at. I think it must have been meant to be. Mm. And that's the thing I say about trust. Strangely, our solicitor, when we got round to it, we actually moved out. We moved out not having officially completed the process. And as we left our home of nearly 40 years, we drove away, not actually being totally certain that we'd sold it. But within about 100 yards or so of driving away from the house, all our stuff had been moved, it was going into store. The telephone rang. Wonderful things, telephones in cars, aren't they? And the telephone went, and it was our solicitor to say, "You've exchanged! Wow!" We thought, that's brilliant. Well, have we completed? You've completed! Oh, wonderful news. But we still didn't have anywhere to go and live officially. And we drove on, and about half an hour later, the telephone went again, and it was, "You've exchanged on your purchase. We'd gone from being homeless to having a home to come to. After all that time, 3 years, sometimes you just have to trust. Yeah. And we have felt, Hilary and I, that the move in the time for the reason has been God-blessed. Yeah. And so beyond that, I'd like to thank all of you, including those in the gallery, who probably, I can't see you. Yes, hello, good morning. You know, the other congregation.
That's right.
What was that thing? Those in the posh seats, those in the poor seats, can you rattle your coins? Those in the posh seats, rattle your jewellery. Yes. but overall, you have been so welcoming to us, and we really do really feel right at home. And we've trusted all the way through that we were doing the right thing, and God is good.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much for sharing, all of you. Let's continue in our worship as we give in our offering, after which the songsters will sing a familiar carol to us.
Thank you for your giving this morning. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, for your good gifts to us, we say thank you. And Lord, we will give to you this morning. And as we move forward into the new year, we pray that you will show us the best way to use the resources that we have to extend your kingdom and to share the good news of Jesus with those around us. Amen.
Thank you. The Bible reading is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 25 to 38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what he had said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them in the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen.
Our second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen."
Thank you for bringing those readings to us. Here's a question for you. Have you given to God your treasure this Christmas? Have you given to God your treasure this Christmas? We're offered on a daily basis the opportunity to do things only God really sees. And what few, if any, others will witness. But when we give ourselves in acts of obedient offering, if you like, to God, we become part of something that will last forever. The two women we read about in the birth narratives in Luke's Gospel who did just that are Mary, mother of Jesus, and Anna. And if Mary speaks to us of a life of consecration, then Anna speaks about a life of living of thanks. She had very little in human terms to give thanks for. She'd only been married for 7 years and been a widow all that time. And yet in her heart, she wanted to just fast and pray and praise God in his temple. We're going to sing a lovely carol before I just bring some thoughts based around a painting that linked with that reading that Andrew brought us earlier. But the carol asks us to acknowledge Jesus and reveal to others what he means to us. Very familiar. Who is he on yonder stall? Let's stand and we'll sing verses 1, 3, 5 and 6. And so I'd like us just to focus just for a few moments, to wait, if you like, and to ask God to reveal things from this painting. On the core carol service, we looked at six paintings, but I want us just to focus on this painting that will come up just now. It's entitled Simeon's Song of Praise by the artist De Gelder. As shown by the witnesses of Jesus' own birth and the first epiphany, we see that God's strategy is very strange for revealing this birth. The angels go to the trouble of summoning shepherds to see the baby in the manger. And we read, they're amazed. We're told that all who heard the shepherd's story later were amazed. It's a bit like the old pub story of the fisherman going in and telling the captive audience in the pub, you know, of the gigantic fish. They're all amazed. The listeners are all amazed. What did they do about it? Next, God arranges a star which, for all its visibility and light, seems to have been designed to bring three strange and distinctly unorthodox wizards to visit the baby. And when they returned by another route, we're told in Matthew's gospel, what did they do with their newfound knowledge? Even if they shared that knowledge, the family had fled to Egypt. So no one would be able to follow up on the story that the wise men brought. Of course, they brought gifts, we know that. Here's the question. Have you given to God your treasures this Christmas? The next odd witnesses of God's arrival on earth to save the earth, to save all people on the earth, are Simeon and Anna. As Jesus' parents take him to the temple for this ritual purification, they encounter these two elderly strangers who, like the wise men before them, like the shepherds, seem to have been specially selected by God. But like the shepherds, like the wise men, an odd, strange strategy for revealing God coming to earth. But instantly, these two elderly veterans of the temple recognize what they're seeing. We're not told how old Simeon is, but his response seems to suggest that he knows that his own death is now close. And scripture says, and welcome, since his life's purpose has been fulfilled. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, he says with joy, according to Luke. I wonder whether we can wait and ponder what God reveals to us personally through this picture this morning. If you look at this Advent art picture, you'll see that it's at that moment in the story that the artist captures Simeon gazing upwards in almost ecstasy. He holds the baby, and while Anna stands praying beside the bundled up child, of course, we know Anna's age. Luke tells us she's 84, of great age for a lady of that period in history. He also tells us, like Simeon, she's dedicated her life to God, having been widowed at an early age. Now, around the group picture, not very easily seen, are shadows. So the light reflects on Simeon, his upturned face, and Anna's lowered one comes from the child outwards. It's really clever how the artist has done that. Almost allowed the child, who would be a light, to lighten the Gentiles, as Simeon calls him, as he's referred to himself as the light of the world. Those shadows are dispelled because of Jesus. And I wonder whether we can think of places in our own lives when we think about what we do Monday to Friday, the people that we come into contact with, perhaps in the shops, perhaps at work, perhaps in our family, who are living in shadows, are living in dark places, where we can perhaps, through the light of Jesus shining through us, bring light into their worlds. Just by being alongside them, allowing God to shine his light through us. The coverings that this artist has painted for the child have a strange sort of red splodge. Do you see that? The covering. And it's been suggested, those who've studied the art, that perhaps this symbolizes two things at the same time, of Jesus' death and resurrection, a gateway to eternal life that Simeon and Anna already expect. But like the shepherds and the wise men before them, as witnesses to the God coming into the world, Simeon and Anna are not strategic witnesses as such. Both are clearly known, yes, for those who attend the temple worship. They're known in that community. They're known for their holiness. They're known for their spiritual discernment. Anna, we read of, is a prophetess. But their time is short. They've not got a long time to be witnesses. Not many will see the baby through their eyes. But light does seem to pour out of the child in this picture. God chooses those first witnesses for his mighty act of salvation. Perhaps it's not necessarily strategic in the sense of that they'll be able to tell lots of people, but perhaps it's strategic from our perspective as we read into Scripture that those first witnesses were in fact the marginalized, the poor, the unorthodox, and the old. Perhaps those first witnesses, therefore, say to us, actually, this light of the world, this Jesus, this Emmanuel, this God with us, is to be shared with these people, by these people. It is a strange strategy that God seems to unfold through this birth narrative. He seems to be saying to us through this picture, through the witnesses that we read of in the birth narratives, that his kingdom belongs to the poor, the meek, the merciful, to those who, like Simeon and Anna, can see past the trappings of worldly kingship to the true God who has come to set his people free. For me, as I reflected in my preparation, it was a reminder once again to let go of those earthly, worldly trappings. Because God's kingdom is different. Be content, God seemed to be saying to me, with all that I have provided for you, Ian, to live a life that is simple in essence, that is God-focused in lifestyle, but seeking every opportunity to be ever witnessing as a person that God has and can use to share this light to others. We know that God doesn't choose the wealthy and the powerful and the successful to parent his son or to be his witnesses. But God grows his kingdom gently, one person at a time. From the testimony of the shepherds and the magi, and later the fishermen and the tax collectors and the outcast women and the healed sinners, the good news that Jesus is with us has spread throughout and all over the earth. That's the nature of the good news that starts at Christmas. Would we rejoice with Simeon and Anna at God present in a helpless child, a child who has no achievements of his own? But would we see in Jesus a light that lightens the Gentiles? As post-Pentecost people, this Advent message of God with us is even more poignant for us. Thanks to the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's now also God in us. So as his witnesses, we can be God through us. So just to reflect, who are the people in your life that need to hear about Jesus from you? Who are the people that God has placed around you so that you can lighten their darkness by shining Jesus through your life? Here's that question again I asked earlier. Have you given to God your treasure this Christmas? Make sure that you're in the right place with him. Make sure it's about him and not about you. Let us pray. Lord, as we think about the temple, as we think about our own lives, as Scripture tells us that we are temples of the living God, I simply ask this morning, Lord Jesus, that our hearts and our lives would be right with you, so that, Lord, when you send us out in the power of your Spirit, we can witness to the fact that Jesus is alive. And we can witness to the fact that he offers salvation to the whosoever. Help us to be mindful of that, Lord, as we go from this place to whatever our lives will be for the rest of this day and in the days that lie ahead. And help us to be mindful of the fact that we can be the joy bringers. We can be the light for you in your world. Help us to be mindful of the fact that you work through us, Lord. And help us to be ever listening to your guidance in our lives. So as we move from this place, Lord, would you go with us into this new year? Keep us all safe. Watch over us, Lord. Guide our steps, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a final carol. It's one that has been in the carol book for a number of years, but we don't often sing. Jesus, good above all other, gentle child of gentle mother, in a stable born our brother, give us grace. Derek's prayer at the beginning, speaking about the grace of God. Give us grace to persevere. Keep us in thy presence near. Help us all thy truth to hear, and with joy we'll persevere. Let us stand and we'll sing the five verses together.
Jesus, good above.
and we're healed by your grace. We've been appointed to be disciples, and we have been enabled by your Spirit. We're called to be your people and to walk as your children. Now, Lord, send us out to discover Christ in our community, to offer his love to our neighbours, and to be Christ to whom we meet. Amen.